beautiful patriotic medley there. Thank you, ladies, for that. For being willing to give of yourselves and give of your talents, give of your time to practice. And praise the Lord for that. Thank God for musicians that are willing to sacrifice and give their time. And such a blessing to the church. I will introduce myself again. I think I've met pretty much everybody here. My name is Forrest LaRue. I'm here to be the interim pastor until the church decides on what you all want to do permanently. And I'm glad, and my wife Betsy, we are glad to be here for as long as you want us and as long as you need us. And we're set for the long haul, but we are praying. And I made mention of this before, and we talked about it again Wednesday night, last Wednesday. We want exactly what God wants. And we want exactly what Northwood Baptist Church needs and what God wants for this church. And so we are praying along with the church that God would just guide and direct and lead according to His perfect will. We sure want to be in the will of God, regardless of the decisions we make. We want to be in the will of God. And so I'm here to serve you. My wife and I are here to be a part of this church for as long as you want us here and as long as God would have us to be here. And that's what we want. That's what our lives are about. And so we praise the Lord for this opportunity. Now, I don't know that it's necessary an apology, but I was preparing a message and I try to when I can bring themed messages. And as we said before, I am thankful for this country, and I'm thankful for all the sacrifices that many have made for our freedoms and for our liberties and for the joys that we have that most people in this world don't have. This is the greatest country, still is the greatest country in the world. But it is a great responsibility for us as well, as the citizens of this country, to stand for truth, stand for righteousness. It is a great calling. But there is also a higher calling, and that's for us as believers. If you're a Christian here this morning, you're a child of God, we have a great calling, and that's to be servants and ministers and preachers and teachers of the Word of God. And so it is a great ministry and a great responsibility and a great opportunity for us to serve the Lord. And this country has put out thousands and hundreds of thousands of missionaries all around the world for so many years. God has used this country, and He continues to. We thank God for the 10 missionaries or so that Northwood Baptist Church supports, and I have to get caught up on all of that and get more clear on how all of that goes as time goes by and get more familiar with those missionaries and those families, and intend to do that. But as we think about that responsibility that we have, I want to look at a passage of Scripture here this morning in the book of Mark, chapter number 4, and then going into the beginning of chapter number 5. And probably many of you are familiar, as we go to this chapter, what this is about. And we're actually going to be in the latter part of the chapter, the last 5 or 6 verses. Mark chapter 4, I'm actually going to begin reading and be preaching from verse number 35 through the end of the chapter and then into chapter number 5. But I want to remind us that the Lord here in the last few days of His earthly ministry, before we get to this particular instance, the Lord has been doing a lot of work. Our Lord was busy. Our Lord was busy on this earth while He was here. He knew that He had to work while it was yet day, and He had His Father's business at mind. And we know that in chapter 2, He healed the palsied man. He preached. He began to work with the multitudes and to heal. And he showed that He was the Lord of the Sabbath. And then in chapter number 3, He chose the 12, the 12 apostles. And right away, He begins their training. And we see in chapter 4 that he is by the seaside in verse number 1. And we'll look at this. And now we need to remember that they, according to chapter number 2, he was now in Capernaum. Now Capernaum was a coast city there on the Sea of Galilee. It was a coast city. And so he was there. And in chapter number 4, the Bible says, and he began again to, verse number 1, he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So that's kind of setting our picture for what we're going to preach about and talk about today. Here they are on the coast of the Sea of Galilee in the city of Capernaum. A great multitude is gathered around. He's already been preaching in the countryside. He's already been teaching. He's already been healing in the countryside. He's already been healing in the cities. And so now people have begun to gather to him because they see this, what they thought was a great prophet or a great teacher. But he as we saw in chapter number 2 and 3, he begins to show that I'm not just a great teacher. I'm not just a prophet. I am the God of gods. I am the Lord of lords. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. You observe the Sabbath. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath. And by the way, I made you. And so he begins to teach. And so it comes to the point here where they're down by the seaside. And there are no coincidences with God. And he gets out in a boat. Why do you think he did that? There's a lot of speculation why he wanted to go out in the boat and launch out into the water. I have a presumption. Because the acoustics are really good. And you can get out there in the water and people on the land can hear you very, very well. The voice carries. And so he goes out into the ship. But he had maybe at least a twofold reason for doing that. He got out of the ship. And on the ship were the men of the ship. Those apostles were with him. And several of those apostles were fishermen. And they lived on a boat. They grew up on a boat, a lot of them. They spent their lives, their days on boats. And so here he is in this ship, the Bible says, a large fishing vessel, and he's preaching to the multitudes. So let's follow on down to chapter number 4 and verse number 35. Now, I don't want to miss or skip over. He preaches and teaches in parables from the ship here all day long. He's on the ship. And the Bible says in verse number 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, now that's the apostles, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, let's say that you've been walking with the Lord all day long, you've been on the hillsides, you've been on the countryside, you walked down into the town, and I don't know exactly what the responsibilities were of the apostles at this point. I mean, they're brand new to the job. Maybe their first day on the job. What's their responsibilities? Well, maybe to kind of, they're learning. That's their biggest responsibility. And they're watching. And they're growing. But after this long day, here they are out in the middle of the water on the ship. And they're probably thinking, boy, I'm ready to go home and get some supper. Maybe he's going to wrap this thing up pretty soon. I don't know what they're thinking. They're probably excited. They're hearing the Lord and their Savior preach and teach. But he comes to the end of the day and he said, hey boys, let's go to the other side of this sea. Now, I don't know how you would have responded. I really don't know how I would have responded except maybe, oh, okay. Not exactly what I was thinking. But that's how the Christian life goes a lot of times. God will call us to things and God will lead us to things that we really didn't see coming. And we probably a lot of times don't understand why. Now, the Lord knew what he was doing. The apostles didn't know what he was doing. We know by reading the scriptures, we know now what he was doing, but we're going to get there. So on the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now I'm going to pray real quick and ask God to help as we teach and preach this message, and that God would do for us what he wants to do in our hearts and lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, once again for this time. And Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that the Word of God would not go forth void today. Like you said, you promised it would not go forth void, but it would return unto you and accomplish that for which you purposed it. And God, I pray that you would do that. Holy Spirit, please minister to our hearts. Speak to us through the Word of God. And I pray that you would just help and bless and work in each individual life according to your will. I pray that you'd be with my mouth and my thoughts, God. Let me only say and do what you want me to. That you'd be praised. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, so I've got several points. I'm going to hit them very quickly, but there's a lot that I want us to see here. First of all, we see in verse number 35 a righteous summons. He says, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, when God says we're going to do something, you can guarantee it's going to happen. Now, these apostles, they didn't have a lot of experience yet with this sort of thing. And so here they are. He said, let us pass over. And this is a righteous summons. He knew what was going on. And when God tells us to do something, we can just mark it down. He knows what's taking place. We don't always have to understand. We don't always have to have the details. If God gives us direction, it's just our responsibility to follow. Amen. And do what we can and observe what God has called us to do and be faithful in the work. He knew why, and that's all that matters. You know, you've heard people say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, it don't matter if we believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. Amen. God said, let us go to the other side. And the Bible says in verse number 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. They didn't even go back to land. They didn't even go get provisions. They didn't, you know, I don't know what they had out during the day on that ship. They just took him even as he was on the ship. Now I want us to notice this at the end of verse number 36, as this is very important, and it will become more important later. The Bible says, and there were also with him other little ships. There were other people out there on the water in smaller boats with him, with them, in this scene here. So we see a righteous summons. And then who did he call to go with him? He says, they took him. Who is this? I believe these were reliable sailors. These men knew what it was like and what it took to be on the water, to be in a boat. So we see the Savior gives a righteous summons, but then he also gave this to reliable sailors. I don't believe God is going to call somebody to something that they're not prepared for or that he cannot prepare them for. He didn't call farmers to come on the boat and take him to the other side. There were men that were already there who were already prepared, who had the experience. He said, all right, I want you to take me to the other side. I want you to do this work for me because I know that you have what it takes. And if you don't have it, I'll give it to you. And so he says, let us go. And then they took him. I thank God that they didn't hesitate. They didn't quit already. They didn't give up. Said, no, I want to go back to the house. They took him. And then there were other little ships with them. And I call these related ships. There were others with them. There were others there. In the midst of what was going on. Right now was a great time. It was a great time of preaching, a great time of teaching, a great time of learning. There are others there who were gleaning. I believe a lot of what the Lord was doing in these early days was for the preparation and the teaching of the apostles. But my, how many other people took advantage of that? How many others got to hear the same preaching and the same teaching? And many disciples were made. Not just the apostle, many disciples were made that learned about the Lord Jesus and learned about the things of God and this new covenant that was being brought in and these new teachings that were different from what they had ever heard, and this man was different from anyone they'd ever heard. I believe it was a lot again of what the Lord was doing was for the apostles to teach them and to train them. But boy, all these others that were around, all that they learned, there were related ships around. Then let's move on to verse number 37. Here they are in the middle of God's will. Did the Lord not just say, let us go to the other side? He did. And they went. And what happened immediately? And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Here they are in the middle of God's will. I mean, you can't be any more perfect in God's will. They're on the same boat as the Lord. He said, let's go to the other side. And they say, okay, let's go. They're absolutely in the middle of God's will, and here comes a storm. So we know there's no truth to this so-called Christianity of, you know, name it, claim it, and believe it, and all of those things. And if you live right, everything's going to go right for you. Prosperity type gospel. There's nothing to that, because you can be in the center of God's will and life still bring storms. Life still bring difficulties. And sometimes impossible looking odds or possible looking mountains to get over, even in the midst of God's will. Here they were, and there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Can you imagine? This was not just a little John boat. This was a large fishing vessel. They had large nets that they would throw over the side and draw in. We know that they drew in great catches of fish at other times here in the Gospels. This was a large ship, a large boat. And now this wind is blowing these huge waves in, and it's taking on water at an alarming rate. The Bible says that it was now full. It was at such a place that these seasoned fishermen, these seasoned sailors, were now afraid. They were alarmed at how bad this was getting. Never seen anything like this before. Where was the Lord? We see this raging storm. It was out of nowhere. And the Lord was there with them all the time. Now I want to say there are a number of different types of storms, of testings, of trials that come in our life. And some of these can be sovereignly initiated. God might bring things in your life. Not to harm you, but to teach you, to strengthen you for something that maybe is later on down the road. Sometimes these storms are satanically instigated. We do have an enemy who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He does that all day long. That's what he does. Looking for a way to harm you, looking for a way to get to you, looking for a way to hurt you and your family. Some storms are satanically instigated. Some storms we find ourselves in the middle of are self-inflicted. Choices we've made, decisions we make, wrong choices. But sometimes the things we find ourselves in the middle of are just simply innocent because we're humans, because it's life. We can't always blame things on God. We can't always blame things on Satan. Sometimes things just happen because we live in this old world. But storms will come. And a storm did come. A very real, a very literal storm came as these men were doing their best to be in the middle of God's will. Verse number 38, we see the resting Savior. We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth was 100% God. You believe that? 100% God. But do you know that He was also in a 100% human body?
Amen.
When He cut Himself, He bled. When He got injured, He hurt. He was hurt by the decisions of others. He was in a 100% human body. And He was tired. That flesh was tired. That human flesh, that human body was tired. And He was in the back of the ship, in the hinder part of the ship, maybe down in the hole asleep, trying to get some rest. He wasn't worried about the storm. He knew they were getting to the other side. And he had put confidence in these sailors. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, the Bible says in verse number 38. And they awake Him. Now when did they awake Him? They awoke Him after verse number 37, when the ship is now full.
Yeah.
Now a lot of times our timing makes all the difference. Now I don't want to presume anything about these men, these sailors. I don't want to presume that they, you know, they thought, oh, you know, we're big, strong sailors. We can handle this storm. I'm not going to presume that. But they did wait until the ship was full before they called on the Lord.
Right.
And many times the timing is what makes a difference for us. Now we know the end of the story. We know what happened because we have the Scriptures. But these men didn't know. They're in the middle of it. Just like when we're in the middle of something we don't understand. We can't see the end of it. We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We don't know what God's purpose is. Timing is very important. Sometimes we see things coming. We ought to drop on, not sometimes, every time. When we see things changing, when we see things coming, we see something on the horizon, we need to hit our knees. God, is this of You? God, have You, you know, is this coming from You? Are these things happening because of something I've done? Or Lord, have I brought this on myself? God, please help me. Give me some discernment. Give me some direction here. These men waited. till the ship was full. I don't know why, but they waited till verse number 38 when the Bible says, then they awake him and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Well, sure he cares. Sure he cares. But maybe they should have gone sooner. I don't know. Again, I don't want to presume. But I know I can apply that in my own life. Sometimes I wait too long to go talk to God about something. Sometimes I wait until I'm in the midst of something before I really go to God with it. And maybe it's because, oh, I think I can handle this myself. Or maybe it's just because I'm ignorant of the situation. But we've got to have discernment. We've got to be quick to go to the Lord. So we see a raging storm. Then we see the resting Savior. It had been a long day. But then we see the Savior's response to the storm. We see the sailor's response. Then we see the Savior's response. The sailors not only questioned him, they all kind of accused him. What, do you not care about us? You don't care about us? Of course he did. Of course he did. Of course he does. He cares. Not only does he care about them, but let's not forget those other little ships. There are other little ships on that sea. And I think that this comes down to why the timing is so important. Because they were on a big ship. Big ships, big boats can naturally take bigger waves better. But what does the Bible say about those other ones that were with them? The Bible says they were little ships. Now, were they not encountering the same wind? Were they not encountering the same waves? And if the big ship was now full, how do we think the other little ships were handling this storm? So I think we ought to be reminded that what we're going through and how we respond to it is also going to affect others around us. We see the response to the storm might have been a little late, and it might have affected those others around them, as we remember those other little ones that are watching. And that doesn't just mean children. That might mean new Christians. That might mean unsaved people that are watching, that are near to the situation, near to the storm that we're going through. And our response plays a big role in how it affects them. We see the response to the storm by the sailors. Then we see a rebuking Savior. In verse number 39, the Bible says, and he arose after they called to him. I thank the Lord that he's that way. I thank the Lord that my God is that way. When I call on him, he responds. The Bible says, and he arose. And he rebuked the sea. Or he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. They saw this storm come up, maybe like they'd never ever seen before. Now they've seen a peace like they've never ever experienced. It went from the worst to an almighty calm that they'd never seen before. Then the Bible says unto him, the Bible says in verse number 40, he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I'm right here with you. I was here the whole time. I'm the one that summoned you to this work. How is it that you don't trust me? How is it that you don't believe I'm going to take care of you? Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in that place before. I hate to say it, but I've been in that place before. And God's come to me and he said, son, I've been here all along. I can do it for you. And he does. He not only rebuked the storm, but he rebuked the sailors a little bit. Come on, guys. I'm here. I know what's going on in your life, and I can take care of it. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 41, and they feared exceedingly. Now, I call this reverent shaking. They feared exceedingly. They were afraid of the storm, but I believe the Bible says they feared exceedingly not till after the calm. Not till after God moved. I believe they were fearful of the storm. But when God moved and God worked and they saw how small they were, that's when they feared exceedingly. They said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They had heard him speak. They had seen him heal. But they'd never seen anything like this. Even the wind and the sea obey him. They'd never seen anything like this before. So we saw back in verse number 35, a righteous summons. The Lord said, "Let us go to the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side." Now he knew exactly what he was doing, what was going to take place, why they were going. Then we get a glimpse of it in chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea." We can go from verse 35 to verse chapter 4 to verse 1 of chapter number 5. The Bible says, "Let us pass over." And the Bible says, "And then they came over." Amen. Just like Brother Tom was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. God says, "I will." You can write it down. He's going to do it. Amen. The Lord said, "Let us pass over." What did they do? They passed over. They made it. They got there because it was His will. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. We see here the reason for sailing. The reason for sailing. Why did they go through that storm? Why did they go through that mess? Why did all that have to take place? God had a reason for it. The Bible says in verse number 2, and they went to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. My wife and I had a pastor years ago. He was our pastor for 15 years. And I remember he mentioned, he didn't preach this message, but preached the message on chapter number 5. And he called this man, he said he was a new dude in a rude mood. That stuck with me all these years. I still remember him saying that. But here came this man. He was a troubled man. He was a troubled soul. He was lost and undone. He was possessed of these demons. And he came running out of the tombs. You probably know the story. He was possessed. They tried to bind him. He was away from his family. He was away from everything he knew. Living on this, in this place of death. Among these tombs all alone. But the Lord knew he was there. And the story about how the Lord met him. And the Lord saved him. And the Lord cast out those devils, those demons. And they fled into the swine. And the Bible says in verse number 15, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind." Amen. Can you imagine seeing that? This man who for years was troubled and in the tombs and cutting himself. They tried to bind him with chains and he tore them in pieces. He couldn't be tamed. Running around naked all hours of the night, screaming and hollering. And those that knew him best came walking up this day. And there he is, clothed in his right mind, cleaned up, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and listening to him teaching. We see the reason for sailing. Then we see a redeemed soul. The Lord saved him that day. How else do you get in your right mind from the place that he was in? God saved him that day. The Bible says that those that saw him were afraid. In verse number 17, they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. That's the Lord. We want you to leave. And he did. And verse number 18 says, "When he was coming to the ship,
He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. In verse number 20, we see a ready soul winner. The Lord saved him that day, and he wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to go back across the sea, go back over there to spend time with the Lord, to be with those other Christians, those other believers. He wanted to go with him, but the Lord said, No, I got a job for you to do. And that's what I was mentioning before the message this morning. There is a great call. There's a great service. There's a great responsibility for us. God had a plan for this man's life. Number one, God is not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wanted this man to be saved. And he knew he needed a voice in that country. He knew he needed a voice in those cities. He knew he needed a voice among those people. So he went and he took those men across that sea and through that storm and all those others around them through that storm for one man. Amen. But it ended up not being just one man. The Bible says in verse number 20, after the Lord said, I want you to go home to thy friends, tell them what just happened to you. In verse 20, the Bible says, And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. We now see the reason for what God was doing, what the Lord was doing. I want to go to the other side of the sea. Didn't make much sense to those sailors at the moment. Why would we go across there? It's late. We've been working. You've been working. We've been working all day long. Why would we want to go across the sea? But they did. They were obedient. They followed the Lord's command. They weren't perfect in their service. Who is? They weren't perfect in their obedience. Who is? But they were obedient. They were faithful. And they went. And they saw it through. And when they realized what God was up to, I believe they rejoiced. The Bible says that those early disciples, those early apostles, they count it joy to suffer for the Lord. They count it joy to go through the storm. They count it joy to suffer for the name of Christ. And this one man obeyed the Word of God. He went back to his people. He went back to his city. He went back to his family. He began to tell them everything that Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And when men marvel, men begin to hear. Men begin to listen. Men begin to receive. Not just men. Men and women, boys and girls, begin to see and to hear and to listen and to receive. Yes. And we will not know until we get home to glory what influence this madman, once madman, had on this world. Had on his community, had on his country, one man. But God knew all that already. That's why he said, I need to get to the other side. Amen. Today. I need to get over there now. We got to go now. And God's will was accomplished. And a soul winner was born again. And a soul winner published what the Lord had done for him. And you know, that's all we have to do. That's all that we're expected to do. Amen. Is to tell others about what the Lord has done for us. God has been good to me and my family. He's been better than I deserve, I'll tell you that. But I want to give Him all the credit. God is merciful. Amen. And there is a great calling for us as Christians, especially in our nation. We've got a great responsibility, but we have a great opportunity. We still have the freedom to do these things. We still have the liberty to preach the gospel. We still have the freedom to take a Bible and go to people's houses and go out on the street and go to the nursing homes and go to the hospitals. We still have the opportunity to do those things. It's a great responsibility, but it's a great opportunity as well to answer the call of God. And to tell those that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day and what a great difference we can make in the lives of someone else. If we'll be faithful and obedient to God's call and follow His leadership. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day today. For what You've given us. And Father, I, I again thank you for this country, what America is and what it has been. And God, I pray that you would give us a space of grace. God, I pray that you would revive us once again in our churches and in our homes and in our personal lives, that this country may be revived and turned back to you. God, I don't believe you're done with America. I don't believe it's over. God, we're still here. I pray, God, that you would just help us, give us, show us mercy, especially for your children, God. Help us to be servants of God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each one here today. God, speak to our hearts about what our part might be. Speak to our hearts about what kind of servant we are and what more we can do, and God, how we can obey you and how we can serve you and follow you. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.